So the Mishnah at the beginning of the second perek ends with a line that preoccupies the mind of Tosfos, and that is Vayomer Eino Noheg Ela Bayom Bilvat, which means that the third parsha of Kriyat Shema, the Mishnah establishes, is only to be read during Shacharis, but not at night. And the reason for that is because the third parsha of Kriyat Shema is the parsha of Tzitzis, and the mitzvah of Tzitzis is only Noheges Bayom and not Balayla. And therefore, says Tosfos Mikan Mashma, this is on Daf Yudalit Amid Beis, if you look on the side, and at least in my Gemara, that goes with Tzionim, says that this Tosfos was accidentally printed off the page.
Yes. Yeah.
But in any event, since we got to Daf Yudalit Amid Beis, we got to learn the Tosfos. Mikan Mashma, Kirabi Shimon. Diomar Beperek Atcheles, Ditzitzis, Mitzvah Sase Shazman Groma. Meaning that tzitzis is a mitzvah of day and not of laila.
Right.
And therefore, women would be exempt from the mitzvah of tzitzis. That's the sheet of Reb Shimon, and our Mishnah that establishes that we don't recite Vayomer at night, because laila loves man tzitzis,
right,
is a reflection of the sheet of Reb Shimon.
Yeah.
And this is a proof that we paskin like Reb Shimon, that mitzvah saseh shman grom applies to tzitzis. Tzitzis is a mitzvah saseh shman grom, it's a mitzvah of yom and not laila. And therefore, noshim pturos, and therefore we don't recite vayomer at night. That's what the Mishnah says. V'chein isa v'kiddushin, and we have this also in kiddushin, dekomar, the Gemara says over there, tzitzis, mitzvah saseh shazman grom. So right now, let's just summarize, we're okay. We haven't gotten to the more challenging half of Tosfos, but in the first half of Tosfos, he establishes that our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Reb Shimon, that Tzitzis is a mitzvah sasechus man grom, it's mitzvah hayom, and not a mitzvah halayla. Any mitzvah which is limited in time, noshim pturos, and we don't recite Kriyat Shema vayom in the third parsha at night, because Kriyat Shema, although it reflects the mitzvah, as we discussed many times, of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim in all three parashios. But what's unique about the third parasha, that's the Kabbalas O Mitzvahs through Tzitzis, because Tzitzis is a parasha that reflects on all the mitzvahs. Chatam is called Mitzvahs Hashem Elokecha. And if that parasha is a reflection of the mitzvah of Tzitzis, then when I accept upon myself the mitzvah of Tzitzis, in effect I'm accepting upon myself the entire gamut of the 613, and therefore Tzitzis is very crucial to this mitzvah of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. That only makes sense as the Mishnah by day, but at night you can't say that through the mitzvah of Tzitzis you are accepting upon yourself all mitzvahs, because how can you accept the mitzvah of Tzitzis at night when the mitzvah of Tzitzis is only a daytime mitzvah and not a nighttime mitzvah. And that's derived from the pasuk Urisem, Urisem Oso. So Ad Kan, until this point, everything is okay. Now Tosfos becomes a little bit more complicated. He says, V'im tomar, im kein leman diomar tzitzis chovas talisu, afilu munachas bekufsa, is afilu hachi chayeves betzitzis. He says, "Hechi ashkechan shehei hazman groma." Again, the language of Tosfos is a little bit obfuscated, but what he seems to be saying is the following: that if you hold bishlema that tzitzis is what's called the chovas gavra, which means that the machayev of tzitzis is the levisha wearing the beged. When I wear the beged, I'm chayev in tzitzis. Then you could talk to me about when that levisha should take place. The levisha that engenders the mitzvah of tzitzis, can it be done not only by day but also by night, or only by day? And if a levisha at night does not engender the mitzvah of tzitzis, the obligation of tzitzis, that would make it as man grom. But if I hold tzitzis chovas talis, or in the Gemara's language, chovas mana, what that means is that even if I'm not wearing the beged, even, for example, this tablecloth, if it had all the other conditions that were met, it would be chayev in tzitzis. And therefore, the whole concept of Yom and Laila makes no sense. Yom and Laila makes sense when you're talking about a Maisa Mitzvah like Levisha. And you can tell me that the Levisha has to take place at a certain time. And when I wear this Beged, I fulfill the Mitzvah of Tzitzis. But if, on the other hand, the Mitzvah is not on the Gavra, but as we would say in Brisker terminology, it's on the Cheftz, I mean the Beged itself engenders the Mitzvah of Tzitzis, it's irrelevant whether it's day or night, if my obligation is to see to it that this beged is equipped with tzitzis, I have to equip the beged with tzitzis, then the whole concept of Zman Groma seems to be out of place. Should we therefore say, says Tosfos, that if I hold that tzitzis is a chovas talis, therefore I should come to the conclusion that tzitzis is a mitzvah seisha ein hazman groma? Tosfos doesn't want to say that. He would rather maintain the position that even if I hold that tzitzis is a chovas talis, I still could possibly be potter. A woman could be patura because of zman groma. How do we fit this all into place? How do we maintain, on the one hand, that tzitzis is a chovas beged, and on the other hand, say it's a mitzvah seisha zman groma? The whole concept of zman groma, of being mechalik between day and night, seems to be totally inapplicable to a chovas cheftza, to a chovas talis. Oh, the yesh lomar di im hoya ksus hamiyuchad lelaila potur. Tosis now,
which makes no sense.
Well, wait. Let's just go slow. The Tosis now. Let's just. You know, Alan, the floor will be yours in a minute. I just want to get a chance to, you know, sink my teeth into it. Tosis has a major breakthrough here in understanding mitzvah seishas man grom, and we'll compare and contrast the Havamina Tosis to the Teretz Tosis. Tosis's breakthrough is that if this, I'm just going to say it in a very vague way, and then but Mirz Hashem will fine tune it. If the mitzvah is related to Zman, meaning if Zman plays a role in the mitzvah, then it becomes a Zman Groma. Meaning, if there's a limitation in some sense of time, if time reflects some sort of limitation in the mitzvah, even if that limitation is far-fetched, it's far removed, and I'll explain to you what I mean in a minute, nevertheless, it converts the mitzvah and classifies it as a mitzvah seishas man groma. So we have now a chovas beged, and I have to equip this talis with tzitzis. It doesn't matter when I put the tzitzis on, I have to do that. Meaning, as far as the gavra is concerned, clearly it's a mitzvah seishas man groma. There's no bound, you know, there's no time, you know, time doesn't bind me or limit me or circumvent or circumscribe the mitzvah of tzitzis as a chovas talis. But nevertheless, Tosus says there's still an element of time in the broader context of this mitzvah. How so? Tosus says because if I have what's called a ksus laila, that means I wear it at night, it's designated for nightwear, then that beged is not chayav in tzitzis. And Tosfos says, even though if I have a beged yom, I would have to put on tzitzis on this beged even at night. And again, there's no distinction, no relevance to the distinction between day and night as far as putting the tzitzis on the beged. But as far as the beged and what qualifies as a beged as far as the mitzvah of tzitzis is concerned, according to the Ma'ad Yomer who says Chovas Talis, there's a fundamental difference between Yom and Laila. How so? In terms of the description, you know, what adjective would you add to describe this beged? Is it a night garment or is it a day garment? If it's a day garment, then you have to put on tzitzis on this garment. When do you put on tzitzis on the garment? Irrelevant. It could be by day, it could be by night. I wouldn't advise doing it on Shabbos because of the Iser of Kosher. But there's no difference between day and night over here. However, if you're talking about the beged itself, which engenders the chiyuv tzitzis, then there's a fundamental difference between day and night in terms of the description of the beged. And since the beged has to be a beged yom, or as Tosfos says in Hayeksus Hamyuchel Alayla Potur, so the precondition in the chiyuv here is yom as far as the miyuchad of the beged. The beged has to be miyuchad, has to be designated for yom. If it's designated for layla, it's a zman groma d'ka mitzvah. I can go back to the Hava Min of Tosus, and the Hava Min is very strong. In fact, we still have to work overtime to appreciate the breakthrough of Tosfos' answer. The Hava mean is classic. Zman Groma means that I can only fulfill this mitzvah during a period of time. If I hold talis, chovas talis, I'm not limited in any way, shape, or form by when I'm fulfilling this mitzvah. My mitzvah is hatolas tzitzis ala beged, and that I will accomplish, whether it's by day or by night, makes no bit of difference. And then Tosfos insists that mitzvah say, that tzitzis, therefore, according to this man yomer, is a mitzvah say, she'ein hazman grow. Tosfos now is a breakthrough. And he says the following. You're under the misimpression, and that was our intuitive understanding, that Zman Groma or not Zman Groma depends upon the Kiyum HaMitzvah, meaning the implementation of the mitzvah. And you're asking, well, am I limited in time? At what moment can I implement the mitzvah? And that's a mistake, says Tosfos. That's a technical foul, because it's not dependent upon the Kiyum HaMitzvah, but it's dependent upon the Machayev of the mitzvah. This is the radical breakthrough of Tosfos. I look at the machayev of the mitzvah. Even if the kiyuma mitzvah is not bound by time, it's not limited to day as opposed to night. I can be machayev this mitzvah at night as well. But that's not my focal, that's not the focus of my attention. What I have to focus on is the machayev of the mitzvah. How does the chiyuv emerge? Not the kiyuma mitzvah implementing the mitzvah, but the obligation of the mitzvah. If time is an element in the emergence of the mitzvah, then it's a mitzvah seishas man groma. If there's some limitation, in this case to yom as opposed to laila, with laila is excluded, if you're defining the chiyuv ha-mitzvah, because the chiyuv ha-mitzvah is a beged ha-miyuchad liyom, but not a ksus ha-miyuchad lelaila, by excluding a beged, a ksus ha-miyuchad lelaila, you're telling me that in terms of what beged could engender this chiyuv ha-mitzvah, when does the obligation emerge, and you're limiting it to yom and not to laila, so you have a beged of laila, and the beged of laila cannot engender or create this chiyuv of tzitzis, then that makes it into a mitzvah say shazman grom. So, very, very radical reinterpretation of zman grom.
To me, it seems so radical it doesn't seem logical. For the same, because the reason is that the reason that if you say that ksus laila does not require tzitzis, which it doesn't, the reason it doesn't require tzitzis is because it doesn't fall into the definition of beged. It's not a beged. It's a ksus laila. It's not a beged when it says al kanfei bigdei hem ledor esam.
Okay. So that point, Alan, we're going to take up in just a minute when we see the Yishalmi. But before you get to that, I just want to ask you the following question. Is it possible, forget about tzitzis for a moment, let's just take a step back, that I would identify a mitzvah for you, which I could be mekayim at any moment of the day, day or night, and yet it's a mitzvah seishas zman grom? Kriyat Shema. I'll tell you what I mean. Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah seishas zman grom. Noshim p'turus mi kriyat Shema. We're going to discuss this at great length. I don't know if you got a chance to go through all the Maror Makomos, but we're going to see in the Maror Makomos that women don't have to read three parashas of kriyat Shema. We're going to have a long discussion about that, so let's not get into it now. But if you can give me a little bit of leeway, accept the following conclusion for the time being, to be proven as we go along. Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah seishas zman grom. Number two, there is no moment in time which is excluded from Kriyat Shema. But yet, since the machayev of the mitzvah is time bound, meaning yom plays a role in the chi of Kriyat Shema under the pasuk u'b'sha'u b'kumecha, and laila plays a role in the emergence of the chiyuv under the pasuk u'b'sha'u b'cha. Therefore, I don't look at my emphasis is not on the kiyum mitzvah, but rather on the chiyuv mitzvah. So, b'li neder, I'm giving away too much at the outset. You know, I'm going to hopefully build up to this. I want to go through the Yishalmi with you. Again, I don't have the original Yishalmi, Eschatoya Nimanski, but the way Tosfos quotes the Yishalmi. But I want you to be sort of like open-minded to redefine mitzvah seishas zman grom. We have a tendency of believing that mitzvah seishas zman grom means show me a piece of time, a slice of time, which is excluded, which is mufka from the mitzvah. I cannot fulfill the mitzvah at that time. For example, if you talk about lulav, clearly a mitzvah seishes mine grom. I can only fulfill the mitzvah of lulav for a week out of the year, or maybe a day out of the year, whatever it might be. That's clearly a case of mitzvah seishes mine grom. Or, for example, if I were to tell you, according to one man diomer, I'm not sure we pass it like that man diomer, that you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin at night. So you have now a time period which is excluded from the kiyum mitzvah. That would be my intuitive knee-jerk response to defining or using a paradigm for the definition of zman grom. And therefore, Tosus' havamin is 100% correct. How can you possibly envision tzitzis as a mitzvah seishes zman grom if I hold chovas talis? Chovas talis is a mitzvah I could be mekayim, and I have to be mekayim at any time during the day without any exclusion. Therefore, if the kiyum mitzvah embraces the entire day with no exclusion, it's lav zman grom. Tosus now makes a breakthrough and he says, Rabosai, you all know your intuitive understanding of zman grom, and that's how you've been trained since you were weaned from your mother's milk. But rethink it, says Tosus. Be a little bit more open-minded to that. Let's focus not on the kiyum mitzvah, but on the chiyuv mitzvah. And it could be that the kiyum mitzvah embraces yom and laila, without exception. But the chiyuv mitzvah is related to time, and once that time element is a precondition in the chiyuv mitzvah, there's a time period which can generate the chiyuv mitzvah. There's a time period which is excluded from the possibility of generating the mitzvah. That itself classifies the mitzvah as a mitzvah say shazman. So without further ado, Rabosei, and your permission, because again, if we don't move on here, we're going to get stuck with our definitions before we even get off the ground. Let's look at the most complicated part of Tosfos, namely the Yerushalmi.
Says Tosfos. Just ask one question, but it's a quick question. You don't even have to answer it. But
right.
But just keep it in mind. The problem with Kriya Shema is that Kriya Shema is not a thing that you're able to mekayim all the time. Because actually there is two dinim, there are two separate yumim of Kriya Shema. There's Kriya Shema Shel Yom and Kriya Shema Shel Laila.
Ah.
You cannot be mekayim Kriya Shema Shel Laila of a Yom, and you can't be mekayim Kriya Shema Shel Laila.
Okay, so let's, as I said before, Alan, hold off on Kriya Shema, because I think that we're going to prove that Kriya Shema is not two different mitzvahs, but one mitzvah.
Okay.
Let's go on. Okay. So what's Tosus going to do now? The Hachi Isa. How would you translate those two words, v'hachi isa? I don't mean literally. Hachi isa means, and that's what we find. But what kind of a move is Tosus make? Excuse me, is Tosus making now? V'hachi isa, v'yushalmi. You have it? V'hachi isa, v'yushalmi, de'kiddushin.
Yeah, this is what we find in
Yerushal. So what is that? What kind of move is Tosus making here? You know, I mean, just conceptualize it.
What,
exactly, Orion. Tosus thinks he has a proof from the Yerushalmi and Kiddushin. Now, if you take a look for a minute, I don't know if you have all these little notes that I have, you know, because this is the Oz Bahadur, you know, they overwhelm you with all sorts of notes.
Yeah.
So I have a note here, number Hey, that says, just one second, that says, Halacha Zion.
Oh, that's what I was looking for.
But the trouble is, Halacha Zion doesn't really, doesn't say which parak it is. But in parentheses, I don't know if you have this, it says, Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph. So if that's in Halacha Zion, then we could put this all together.
It is.
Okay, good. Right. So maybe that'll help this little footnote over here to find the Yerushalmi.
Wait, that's
but be that as it may, again, only because of the time limitation that we have, and I'm hoping, Mirtz Hashem, B'li Neda, that we'll learn brachas twice a week, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
And if we work out the schedule that fits, you know, it's not going to fit everyone. Like you say, you can't satisfy everyone, but I'd love to get, you know, a group of people that would learn brachas with me on Mondays and Wednesdays, and chulin with me on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That's right now my goal, and I'm very influenced by one of the gentlemen who's here today, who I think would favor that kind of schedule. But we have to see if we can get other members on board. I think Jeff, you also might be able to work that out until you start Ulpan, right? Okay, fine. We'll see. Hopefully, all the different the glitches will be worked out, and we'll get a group. That's what I'm hoping. Halacha Zayin. Okay, so this is the Mishnah of what's called Mitzvah Saval HaBen, which is the sugya of Mitzvah Sei Shazman Grom. In the Bavli, it's on Daf Lamed Dalid. In the Yushalmi Kedushin, it's on Daf Yud Tes. Okay, fine. What does it say in the Yushalmi? Let's first read the words of Tosfos. And this is supposed to be a proof to Tosfos with his radical breakthrough. It says the following: Amar Lehem Rav Shimon. Right, Rav Shimon is the one who waves the banner of Mitzvah Sei Shazman Groma with regard to Tzitzis.
Right.
And the Rabbanu were giving him resistance. Iyatem modimli, says Rav Shimon, did Tzitzis Mitzvah Sei Shazman Groma sharek sus laila potu minat Tzitzis? Amalei ila taima de Rabbanon shimhaya miyuchad liyom v'laila shechayev b'tzitzis. Very strange. We have two kinds of a beged that are indicated here in this dialogue between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon, Rabbi Ila, who's representing the Rabbanon. One class, one type of beged is what's called a ksus laila, and that's clearly potum in a mitzvah. That's exempt from the mitzvah of tzitzis. Then we have a different kind of beged, which is miyuchad liyom vilaila. Okay, it's not a suit that you wear during the day, it's not pajamas that you wear at night, it's something that you wear both by day and by night. I mean, in our society, that's 99% of the begotten that we wear. I mean, there is something called nightwear, but most of the begotten we wear at night as we do during the day. And it's interesting, Rav Shimon waves, he thinks he's got a great proof from the fact that ksus laila is potum in etzitzis, meaning, let's derive from that the conclusion that mitzvah sei shazman groma. Yeah, that's it's a bit to say, but Rav Ila counters him by telling him, wait a minute, what about a beged that's both yom and laila and it's chayiv mitzvahs? Meaning, presumably, if I have a halacha of a chayiv mitzvah tzitzis on a beged that's miyuchad to both yom and laila, that would prove to us that tzitzis a mitzvah seisha ein azman groma. Meaning, according to you, Rav Shimon, maintaining that tzitzis is a mitzvah seishas man groma, you have a problem. You have to confront the issue of the chiyuv tzitzis in the case of a beged that's miyuchad for both yom and laila. Rabosa, I have to submit to you that I don't understand what's going on. First of all, I don't understand what the machlokas here is between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon. And secondly, I don't understand how Rabbanon prove their case from this beged, which, as we said before, is your commonplace beged that's miyuchad for both yom and laila. I mean, Rav Shimon still has a counter argument. He's saying, well, but what if it's miyuchad liyom and it's potter from that? It's what are the rabbanon answering to that? So, what is the machlokas here about these two classes of ksus? And the biggest kasha that I have here is, why does Tosfos bring this Yushalmi as a raya? How does this Yushalmi prove anything? You yourself wanted to say that maybe tzitzis a mitzvah seisha ein azman groma. Tosfos is havamina who maintain that position. Now, all of a sudden, Tosfos says, well, there's Rav Shimon, and he appears in the Yerushalmi. We know about Rav Shimon. We know that there is one opinion that tzitzis a mitzvah seisha azman groma. But what did he see here in this Yerushalmi? That's really a summary of, I think, the problems that we have to have.
Right,
in this
clarify the case now of the ksus yom v'layla.
Yes,
ksus yom v'layla is the Yerushalmi saying if you have a chiyuv in tzitzis v'layla on this ksus yom v'layla, or it's already mitsuyitz because of yom, and you wear it at night also, but could you theoretically take the tzitzis out of it at night because it's laila and it's a lot of zman tzitzis?
Good question. So let's see if we can answer your question. But first, I think what we should do is just to, again, as I say, to sink my teeth into this sugya, is try to understand the machlokas between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanan. What are they arguing about? Okay. Now, Rav Shimon bases his argument on the fact that Iksus Laila is Potter min Atzitzis. That's what he stand. That's where his case stands or falls. Well, let's just think about that. There are two ways of interpreting that halacha. One could say that, okay, I mean, again, this is a little bit of a balbatish asfar, but one could say that the Torah is not impressed with a beged that's miyuchad lalayla. Like most of our waking hours, you know, we wear clothes, and this is something that we don't wear during the course of the day.
Pajamas.
It's pajamas. You know, even in the shuk, you go out to the marketplace. I mean, you may have special stores that sell nightwear and so forth and so on, but usually they probably cost a fraction. You know, again, they're a designer pajamas, I'm sure. In today's society, you could pay who knows what for pajamas, you know. But generally speaking, when you talk about a beged with a capital B's, you know, capital B, if you transliterate beged, we're talking about a ksus yom. A ksus laila may be a secondary kind of beged. And the Torah says that the obligation of tzitzis is imposed on a more chashuv of a beged, a primary beged, if you will. And that's a ksus hamiyuchad liyom. So therefore, the discussion about a ksus laila is in effect irrelevant to mitzvah, to determining whether tzitzis is a mitzvah seish man grom or not. Because the Torah is not saying that this mitzvah is in any way related to time. It just the Torah is trying to analyze what kind of beged, the type of a beged that really, yeah, that warrants, you know, that engenders an obligation to go through the whole rigmarole of taking tzemer off the animal's back, you know, and doing tefillah lishma and the whole bit, and then tying it onto the beged. I mean, the Torah said, you know what? Since this is going to enhance the beged, but I'm not going to obligate you, says the Torah, on every single beged. There are abgadim that are less chashuv. Okay, fine. I had actually an example. Oh yeah, I'll give you an example. What happens if you have a three-cornered garment? Again, I'm just giving you one example. Again, you'll ask me from a five-cornered garment. Maybe I could say the same thing. But a primary beged, again, maybe not in our context today, the way we wear begadim, but back in the day, was to wear a beged of dalit kanfas. So you have halach that if the beged only has three kanfas, or maybe even if it has five kanfas, and it's so, you know, cut up into different triangles, you're potter min hatzitzis. Obviously, it has nothing to do with zman grom. So to the same extent that a beged with less or more than four kanfas is potter from tzitzis, a beged which is miyuchad l'ksus laila is potter min hatzitzis. What does that have to do with zman grom or not zman grom? Or no. Maybe you could say it differently. I think this may be the chat of what Tosis thinks is Rav Shimon's argument in the Yerushalmi. You know why a ksus hamayuchad lalaila is potter min hatzitzis? Not because the beged is less chashuv, it has nothing to do with the beged, but rather it has to do with laila. Laila is a poter in the mitzvah of tzitzis. Okay, we have to analyze what that means. Let me go slowly, step by step. If I hold that Lila is a poter, Lila itself engenders a ptur from this mitzvah, then it becomes a mitzvah seishas man grom. Because again, why is it that Tosus believes that this Yerushalmi is relevant and can serve as a proof for establishing tzitzis as a mitzvah seishas zman grom? We know that Rav Shimon holds that tzitzis is a mitzvah seishas zman grom. But Tosfos had a problem, if you recall. What if I hold tzitzis chovas talasi? Bishleim, if I hold that tzitzis is a chovas gavra nicha. So you're talking about a levisha, and you're telling me that the chiv could not emerge when you wear a beged that's miyuchad lalayla. So you see that layla plays a major role in undermining the mitzvah of, or the undermining the chiyuv, or the emergence of the chiyuv, the chalos chiyuv of tzitzis. But if I hold chovas talis, then what role does it play? Why should the fact that there's a chovas talis have any bearing on zman groma, not zman groma? And Tosfos argued, well, because a ksus laila is ptura minat tzitzis, correct? That was Tosfos's breakthrough. Why ksus amyuchel laila pata? Tosfos says, I can prove that from Yishal. The fact that a ksus laila is potim in atzitzis is not a halacha in the beged. It's not a halacha in the preconditions of the chiyuv tzitzis, but rather to ptur in the gufa shel chiyuv, chiyuv ha-mitzvah. Otherwise, this Yishalmi would make no sense. Because the Yishalmi claims, in the name of Reb Shimon, that totally, that he argued against the Chachamim, I can prove to you, I can demonstrate that tzitzis is a mitzvah seishas man groma from the fact that ksus laila is potter. What kind of argument is that? Ksus laila is potter because it doesn't meet up to the conditions of ksus to engender the chiyuv of tzitzis. So conceptually, Rav Shimon makes no sense. The only way Rav Shimon can make sense is if you go back to the chiyuv and the ptur. And you ask yourself, how do I understand the fact that al pidin eksus hamyuchel alayla is potim in atzitzis? It must be alach of chiyuv and ptur, that somehow layla is a potter of tzitzis. If you don't accept that premise, that layla is a potter of tzitzis, then the Yishalmi makes no sense. Because how did Rav Shimon argue against the Chachamim that you have to admit to me, says Rav Shimon to the Chachamim, that tzitzis is in fact a mitzvah seishman groma because a ksus laila is potim in atzitzis? What kind of argument is that? The answer to Rav Shimon's question is so simple, even a child would answer. Ksus laila is potim in atzitzis because it's not a ksus. What should I say? It's like a beged of three kanfas. What does that have to do with Rav Shimon? The answer is, Rav Shimon understood that the halacha of ksus laila p'tur min atzitzis is not a halacha in the gufo shel beged, but rather it reflects on the nature of the chiyuv. And the fact that this ksus is a laila dika ksus is mafkia the mitzvah of tzitzis. The mitzvah of tzitzis requires yom and not laila. So therefore, Again, this is. I'm so sorry that I'm repeating myself for the third time, but it's for me and not for you. But I apologize. Again, the problem that Tosfos was facing is that we have our halacha according to one man the other of tzitzis chovas talis. If tzitzis chovas talis, clearly we're dealing with a definition in the beged. But as far as the kiyuma mitzvah is concerned, there's no difference in yom and laila. The answer is, wait a minute. If Rav Shimon in the Yushalmi proves his case against the Rabbanim, establishing mitzvah seishman groma tzitzis, from the fact that ksus laila is ptur min atzitzis, then obviously he learns that the ptur here of ksus laila is not a ptur in the gufo shel beged. It doesn't exclude a non-fulfillment of the conditions of a beged linyan chiyuv, but it's halach in the gufo shel chiyuv. Therefore, says Tosfos, you have to admit that even if I hold that tzitzis is a chovas talis, I can still argue that it's a mitzvah seishas man groma for the fact that ksus laila is potim in atzitzis, because ksus laila potim in atzitzis is not halacha in the gufa shel beged. It must be a halacha in the nature of the chiyuv, that the yom is a poter of the chiyuv. Otherwise, Rav Shimon in the Yushalmi makes no sense.
So then, according to Tosfos,
yeah,
are you allowed to put tzitzis into a beged? A dalit kanfas balayla. In other words, there's no tzitzis in the beged, you have to hear. Are you mekayim the mitzvah of putting tzitzis in a beged?
If we're saying that ksus laila potim in atzitzis because laila is a zman poter, then for sure tzitzis for laila is not a kiyum. Again, if I hold chovas mana, then it doesn't matter yom or laila. That's for sure.
Right.
Again, even though even though there's halacha of mitzvah seishes man grama, but I have to equip this beged, this heft of a talis, with tzitzis. So therefore, it doesn't matter when I put the tzitzis on. Yeah. We're not saying that Lila's mufka from putting the tzitzis on the beged. But what we are saying is that if, let's say, according to the Yomachovas tzitzis, supposing I take this beged off the table, this tablecloth off the table, and you know maybe my wife fixes it up a little bit, and I wear it, would that kium of levisha, and how much more so according to the Yomer Tzitzis Chovas Gavra, be meaningful at night?
No.
The answer is no. Why not? Because the halacha of Ksus Laila Pturimin and Tzitzis tells me something about the whole nature of the Chiyuv Mitzvah. The Chiyuv Mitzvah merges with Yom and not with Laila.
No, but I would hold that Tosfos would hold that if you put in Tzitzis Belaila in the Beged cannot be worn in the daytime.
That I don't know. Well, I'm not sure if we have to go that far.
No, because you would say that because since Laila has, there's no chiyuv of tzitzis, then putting in the tzitzis like being tzitzis in the beged is doing nothing, and as soon as it becomes daytime, it's mina osui.
Ah, oh, I see what you say. Tasav lo mina osui. Okay, maybe we have to take that under advisement. But in any event, what I'm trying to suggest, I'm looking here at my notes, you know, just to give you a more precise summary of what I think we're saying over here. Ksus yom v'layla. How do we understand that? We just finished saying that according to Reb Shimon, a ksus laila p'turim in tzitzis because laila is a poter in tzitzis. If that be the case, this is what Reb Eula is arguing against Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, you're stuck now in the following contradiction, the following dilemma. Because a ksus hamiyuchel liyom v'laila, is there's the element here of Laila in the Beged, that itself should be a poter from the mitzvah. Meaning, according to you, Reb Shimon, that Laila is a poter in the mitzvah of tzitzis. Why is Laila a poter in a Beged hamiyuchad l'Laila and not in a Beged hamiyuchad l'yom v'Laila? Now that you've given this Laila a status of a poter, it's like an antithesis, you know, it's like a power of itself to be mafkia the chov. So then even if this beged could be worn during the day, and it was designated to be worn by the day, since it was also at the same time designated to be worn at night, the levishas laila in the miuchadis of the beged should be a poter, because now we have laila built into this mitzvah.
That I can't wrap my head around that so easily, because even if it would be poter, even then, even according to Reb Shimon, even if it was a ksus yom v'layla,
right,
Eino chinami would be poter.
No. That's what the Yerushalmi says. Amale Rav Ila, time of the Rabbanan, what was the proof for the Rabbanan against you, Reb Shimon? Shim ha'yim yucha liyom v'layla, even you, Reb Shimon, agree, shechayiv betzitzis.
When is it chayiv betzitzis? Chayiv betzitzis biyom v'layla. If he's wearing it at night, it's not chayiv betzitzis, according to Reb Shimon. It's
yeah,
the same beged, but it's not chayiv betzitzis.
Again, that depends upon you're putting the wagon in front of the driver. How do they say that phrase?
Meaning, the horse, right?
In front of the horse. We don't know yet whether you chayiv betzitzis b'layla. I mean, that's going to be dependent upon this machlokas. What we want to know is a more shall I say akdama to that. You know, something that comes prior to that.
Yeah, but everybody knows it comes from a resemer. Everybody agrees that's the pasuk it comes from.
Right, but you may be right about that, Alan, but we're asking a different question over here. We're asking, given the facts on the ground, that aksus lailas potem in atzitzis, but at the same time, aksus yom v'lailas chayev in tzitzis, and those are two points that nobody debates, whether you hold like Reb Shimon, and it's a mitzvah seishas man grom, you hold like the Rabbanan, then it's a mitzvah seisha einas man groma. Everybody agrees that ksus laila is potem in atzitzis, and Reb Shimon says to the Rabbanan, wait a minute, if ksus laila is potem in atzitzis, you see clearly that that laila is a potem from the chiyuv tzitzis.
Right.
Comes along the Rabbanan, and they argue, but wait a minute, according to you, Reb Shimon, if there is such a concept that the laila is a potem from tzitzis, then if the ksus is miyuchal liyom ula laila, the zman laila should be a poter from the mitzvah of ksus.
But so what does he want? What would you want then? Okay, let's say it was that.
I want you to admit that the reason why a ksus laila is potter from tzitzis is not the way you, Reb Shimon, understand it. That laila is a potter from tzitzis, but rather for an entirely different reason. It's halach and a beged. But if I have a beged that's miyuchad for both yom and laila, it has the chashivus. In other words, basically what the Rabbanan are trying to prove against Rav Shimon is Yom V'Laila and Hilchas Tzitzis is only relevant to the Shtamshus of the Beged. Look and analyze the Shtamshus of the Beged. Has nothing to do with Zman Ptur. If the Shtamshus is the Shtamshus Yom, then what emerges is a Beged that's Mechayev and Tzitzis. If the Shtamshus is the Shtamshus of Laila, then that's not a Shtamshus which can establish a Beged Le'inyin Chiyuv Tzitzis.
Oh,
comes along the Rabbanan and they say, now it makes sense. That if it's miyucha to both Yom and Laila, true, that the Shtamshus B'Laila is not powerful enough to engender the status of a Beged Le'inyin Chiyuv Tzitzis, but there was a Shtamshus of Yom. And since it was miyuchal ishtamshus biyom, that ishtamshus biyom is going to engender the mitzvah of tzitzis. Not the way you, Reb Shimon, said that laila is a poter mitzitzis. Has nothing to do with that. It has to do with defining the ishtamshus of the beged. But again, getting back to what Tosis wants to get from the Yerushalmi. So again, we if you recall, we asked two questions. Question number one was, what is the Yesod HaMachlokes between the Chacham and Reb Shimon and the Yerushalmi? And question number two was, why Tosis quotes this Yerushalmi? What proof does he adduce from this Yerushalmi? So let's go over the answers to the two questions and see if we're okay. As far as the first question is concerned, what is the Yesod HaPlugta between Chacham and Reb Shimon? The answer is, how do we define the Halacha Ksus Laila? Pturim and Tzitzis. According to Reb Shimon, Ksus Laila, Pturim and Tzitzis, because the Zman of Laila is a poter from Tzitzis. According to the Chachamim, Nein, that's nothing to do with the Zman of Laila, that's to do with the Beged itself.
Right.
Is the Shtamshus of Laila enough to engender a Beged Linyan Chiv Tzitzis, or is it not enough?
Right.
The Chachamim proved to Reb Shimon that it can't be as you would have it, that there's a Ptur of Laila, because if that be the case, then even a Beged that has Yom, but it also has Laila, the Laila itself should be a Poter. Oh, so if that's Reb Shimon, if Reb Shimon is saying that we look at the Zman Chiyuv and Laila is not a Zman Chiyuv as far as the mitzvah tzitzis is concerned.
Right.
In other words, if Laila is a poter,
so what does he do with the Ksus Yom V'Laila?
So what does he do with the Ksus Yom V'Laila? That's a good question. Hopefully we'll come back to that question. Again, that was the Rabbanan's question. It's not your original question.
No,
it's Rabbanan's. Right, the Rabbanan's question. But I'm just saying that Rav Shimon Shita is that we look, in order to determine whether it's a Zman Grom or not, we analyze the Zman HaMachayev, and we see if there's a time element in Zman HaMachayev. And the answer is that Reb Shimon holds that Laila is excluded from the Zman HaMachayev, and he proves it from the fact that Ksus Laila is Potem and Tzitzis, because the Ptur is a Ptur in the Guf Choves Tzitzis. It's Allah that Laila is a Potem and Tzitzis.
Right.
And therefore, the Chachamim counter, and they say, no, there's no proof from Ksus Laila. Potem and Tzitzis, that the Zman of Laila is a poter, and therefore it's a Zman Grom. No, it could be an entirely different halacha. And that is that we need a beggar that's mutfud fish tamshus of Yom. And the Rabbanan say, I'll prove it to you, because a mitzvah, a beggar that's miyuchad for both Yom and Laila is indeed chayav in tzitzis. According to Reb Shimon, there should be a positive poter, a mafkia v'chiyuv, based on the fact that it's miyuchad Laila as well. Comes along the Chachom, and they say, Narva, so what conclusion do we have to derive? That the halacha of Ksus Laila has nothing to do with the Ptur in the Zman HaMachayev, but rather it's halacha in the Beged itself.
Yeah.
That's what we have so far.
Reb Shimon is not saying that it creates an Isur of Tzitzis B'Laila. All he's saying is that there's no fear of Tzitzis B'Laila. He's not saying it's Osir to have the Tzitzis on the Beged B'Laila.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about the chiyuv and the poter.
Right.
If there's a poter of Laila,
right,
then that's enough, according to Reb Shimon, and Tosis builds a lot on Reb Shimon, to establish that tzitzis is in fact a mitzvah sei shazman groma. According to the Rabbanan, it would seem that as far as the chiyuv is concerned, there's no difference between yom and laila. Laila plays no role whatsoever in establishing the chiyuv of tzitzis. The p'tur of ksus laila, according to Chacham, is a din in the chef to the beged. That the beged, in order to be mechuyv in tzitzis, has to be miyuchad liyom. And therefore, the Rabbanan insists, if you have miyuchad liyom and miyuchad lalayla, then I have enough of a shame beged, a cheftshol beged, to be mechayev in tzitzis from the fact that it's miyuchad for what? For yom. So Rabosa, again, you know, I like to learn a sugya both from the perspective of that sugya, you know, like with what I call nearsighted vision. But then I also like to look at the sugya as like a derech alimud, you know, from the perspective of methodology. To me, this is a perfect example of the following structure of methodology, the conceptual structure. Sometimes you don't have enough elements to engender a chiyuv, meaning there are X number of conditions which you can enumerate, and we might be lacking a chiyuv. But sometimes we have what's called a poter, or a mafkia. I'll give you an example. Again, I don't want to get off the topic for today, but we have what's called an isas klovim, or an isas akum, as far as the mitzvah of chala is concerned. So what happens is that this dough is owned by a non-Jew, and therefore I can eat this dough without a freshes chala.
Right.
Okay. So how do we understand that halacha? One way of understanding the halacha is that it's an absence of a condition necessary for the chiyuv. The chiyuv is engendered by a riso seichem, but velo isas aku. There's a whole other way of learning it. And that is that the ownership of the aku is itself a poter, in a positive force. It is a mafkia. And then afkamina is going to be shutfis. What happens if a Yisrael and a goy are shutfim in a dough? Is that dough chayuv in challah? If the guy's ownership is nothing more than the absence of a tnai hamachayv. Well, I have a tnai hamachayv. I don't need the guy because I own this, you know, this dough no less than he does. It's an isser. But if on the other hand there's a brand new halacha of a poter, that the ownership of a guy is like a positive thing that removes and uproots the chiyuv of whatchamacallit.
This won't help.
Then Shifus won't help, because his ownership is still undeniable, and it works and it operates as a poter. I'm sure if I knew enough about physics, I could give you an example from the world of physics. But I don't know. I once tried to dabble in physics, and I failed miserably. I just didn't have the nomenclature. I got very frustrated, and I said, let the physicists deal with these textbooks. I can't figure them out. But a similar thing is Lila. What is Lila? As far as tzitzis is concerned, one way of learning it is that it's the absence of a mechayev. And that's surely the way the Rabbanan understand it. Okay, there's an absence of mechayev because it's miyuchad lalayla, but now I have something that's miyuchad liyom ulalayla. So dalmi, okay, I don't need the miyuchadis lalayla doesn't bother me, it's a neutral element, I have the miyuchadis liyom. Whereas Rav Shimon understood that lila is a poter. Ad kedei kach that lila will create and transform the mitzvah, in this case tzitzis, into a zman gromadika mitzvah, because we have a p'tur of zman. If there's a p'tur of zman, that itself transforms the mitzvah into a zman gromad, even though, again, I can't emphasize this enough, the kiyum mitzvah is possible for 24-7 if I hold beged chovas talis. Okay. So again, just to summarize, Tosis' proof here is from the sheet of Reb Shimon, who holds that the Zman Yom is the Machayev of Tzitzis, whereas the Zman Laila is the Poter, and that establishes Tzitzis as a Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grom. However, Rabosai, I think if we open up the Rambam and look at his definition of Zman Grom, I would suggest, and tell me if you agree with me, that the Rambam is dealing with what I call a classical understanding of Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grom. You have the Maror HaKomos page, right? The Ram is in Perek what? It's towards the end of Hilchus Avodas Chacham. Yud Beis. I thought it was the last Perek in Hilchus Akum. And here's where the Rambam defines a mitzvah's aseshas mind grum. He says the following: Kol mitzvah's los aseshas b'Torah, echad anoshim v'echad noshim chayovim. Okay, fine. Kol mitzvah aseh she mizman muzman v'eino tadira noshim peturos. Correct? That is the Lashon HaRambam here in Hilchas Akum. Oh, I have another copy, Jeff, if you want, of the Mar Makomos page, because I don't know, how did I get this? I don't know. Oh, no, my mistake. This is... I thought I had two copies. Okay. So I had you in mind, Jeff. I just want you to know. You know. Okay, just 1 second. Yeah. Now... Just give me a second. Trouble is, I have my notes here from Chulin as well, so I keep turning pages here to find the right page. Yeah. The Pashtus, I think, again, check me out on this. I'm going to try to support this by combining this Rambam with a different Rambam. The Pashtus, the Lashon Rambam here, is... when does this mitzvah apply? In other words, the Rama wants to know, am I going to fulfill this mitzvah at a certain period of time, or can I fulfill this mitzvah at any period of time? If I can fulfill it in the latter case at any time, then it's a mitzvah seh she'ein hazman grom. If on the other hand, my implementation of the mitzvah is limited in time, then it's a mitzvah seh shazman grom. So that's the Rambam in Hilchas Akum, if you don't mind holding on to this.
Yeah, but he mentioned Tadir in there, I think. Right?
Yeah, we'll come back to the word Tadir in just a minute. But first I want to jump forward to the Rambam in Hilchos Tzitzis. Okay then? Yeah. The Rambam in Hilchos Tzitzis. This will take me a minute, hopefully, and we'll get it out. Yeah. This is the Rambam Perek Gimel Halacha Tes. And the Rambam says the following: Noshim, etc., etc., Pturim min atzitzis. Okay. And the Rambam says that a woman is Pturim min atzitzis. Okay. The Rambam has a whole long discussion here, which is that's a study unto itself. What about a woman who volunteers, she's moved to wear tzitzis, and the Rambam says, you know what, ein mamchin biyodan. It sounds like the Rambam is not making very much, giving too much significance to this, but ein mamchin biyodan, we'll let it go by. The Rambam says, it doesn't sound like the Rambam is encouraging the women in any way to do this. Okay, fine. Remind me, I'll tell you a story about the Rav, if you're interested, about the Rav and Mitzvah Tzitzis, as far as women are concerned. Mm-hmm. Have a cute story. So, hey chayev b'mitzvah Tzitzis, kol olam shu chayev lasos mitzvah zu, im yiskase b'ksus haruil tzitzis, yatil lo tzitzis, v'yakach yiskase bo, v'im yiskase bo lo tzitzis, reis abitel mitzvah esei. Aval habgodim haruil tzitzis, kol zman shalo yiskase bo en odom, etc., etc., okay, then you're not chayv. Of course, the Ram holds, tzitzis ein chovas talis, el chovas ha'ish sheyesh lo talis. Okay, Rabosa, I think the Rambam is l'shitaso over here. What do I mean? The Rambam holds that if you put tzitzis on at night, if you wear a beged of tzitzis at night, you wear a beged of tzitzis at night, you have no kiyum at all. There is no mitzvah of tzitzis at night. And that's why, since the Rambam defines Zman Groma as a mitzvah whose kiyum is limited in time, therefore tzitzis becomes your classic example, according to the Rambam, of a mitzvah say she hazman groma, that noshim pturos, right? Okay, fine. So that's as far as the Rambam is concerned. He does not seem to be operating the way Tosus would have it. But that's not the entire picture as far as the Rambam is concerned. Because we're going to come back to the Rambam in just a minute. But first, I want to talk to you about a very, very famous chiddush of the Shagas Aryeh. The Shagas Aryeh in Siman Yud Beis, analyzes the question of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. And would that qualify as a mitzvah seisha einazman groma? Of course, if you hold like the Chachamim that you can only fulfill that mitzvah during the day, there's nothing to talk about. Open and shut case, it's a mitzvah say she'enazman groma. But we paskin, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, like Ben Zoma, that Yitzias Mitzvah Yisrael Balelos, that even at night you have a mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now, give me your, again, obviously I'm asking for the wrong answer, but give me your knee-jerk response. Is this a mitzvah seishas man grom according to Ben Zoma? Meaning from the classical perspective, is there a moment in time when you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim? Is there any moment in time that's excluded? No? Comes along the Shagas Aryeh, and he says something fascinating. Women are exempt from the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim, even according to Ben Zoma. Even though the mitzvah applies both by day and night, and there's no slice of time that's excluded from this mitzvah. How does the Shagas Aryeh justify such a position? And he says the following, that if you read the pasuk carefully, the conclusion that you should derive is that Laila and Yom are two separate entities as far as the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's Yemei Chayecha and there's Kol Yemei Chayecha. And they stand independent one of the other. And therefore, according to the Shagas Aryeh, women are exempt from Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim as a mitzvah say Zman Groma, because there is a Zman Groma element here. But again, Rabosai, what would that prove as far as our original Chakira, which I think is the most fundamental Chakira in Zman Groma? Is Zman Groma depends upon the Kiyum HaMitzvah or on the Chiyuv HaMitzvah? You're not with me on this. I say I lost. Again, Rabosai, this is the old, well-trodden, classical, knee-jerk response to the question, what is Zman Groma? And that is there a period of time where I cannot fulfill this mitzvah? It's meaningless. I can't take the lulav of today on the 5th of El. It's not meaningful. From that perspective, if you accept Ben Zoma, Kol Yemei Chayecha Afilu Halelos, then how would you classify Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim? Ain't Zman Groma, correct? How can the Shagas Aryeh then accept that mitzvah Zechiris Yitzrayim is Zman Groma? He must be operating with the second definition that we offered. Namely what? It's not dependent upon the Kiyum HaMitzvah, when I implement it, but rather the Chiyum HaMitzvah. And the Shagas Aryeh says that there's a Chiyum that emerges by day, there's a Chiyum that emerges at night. They're two separate Mechaimim. Even though, again, it's one mitzvah, but it's two separate machayim. And Rabosai, if I wanted to prove the Shagas Aryeh's approach, I would go in two ways, and I think they're both equally valid. One is from Kriyat Shema, we'll talk about that. And the other is from our Tosfos with regard to the mitzvah of Tzitzis. Tzitzis says Tosfos is mitzvah seishas man groma because ksus laila p'turim min tzitzis. I don't get it. Makes no sense. And how much more so does it make no sense to say that Tzitzis chovas Talis, and then to say it's Zman Groma? The answer is we're not talking about the Kiyum HaMitzvah. And even if the Kiyum HaMitzvah exists 24/7, I could take a Ksus Yom and I could wear it Balayla and I'm Chayiv in Tzitzis. No. But is there a halach of Zman in the Kiyum HaMitzvah? And the answer is Tosfos maintains that according to Rav Shimon, since a Ksus Laila is Pturim in Tzitzis, it means that the Zman element is inherent in the chiv and the ptur of the mitzvah, that converts it into a mitzvah sin, shazman. Oh. So the Rav told us that his father, Rav Moshe, had a big kasha on this Shagas Aryeh. What was Rav Moshe's kasha? He said that if you open up the Rambam in Hilchas Tefillah, you'll see that Lechora, the Shagas Aryeh is wrong. Because the Rambam writes, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Mehilchas Tefillah, Mitzvah Aseh Bechol Yom. Which means that on a daily basis, the mitzvah of Tefillah emerges. The Yom itself engenders the Chiyuv. So even though there's no moment in which I cannot fulfill, that's a double negative, right? There's no moment in which I cannot fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah, meaning I can fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah 24/7. But nevertheless, tefillah emerges on a daily basis. In other words, there's a distinction here between the chiyuv ha-mitzvah and the kiyuv ha-mitzvah, whereas the kiyuv ha-mitzvah is clearly 24/7, continuous, without any termination. Yet the chiyuv ha-mitzvah is related to time, because the Rambam says that the yom itself engenders a chiyuv tefillah. I was thinking, for example, of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah l'chor should be a classical case of mitzvah she'ein hazman gromo. Any moment I can fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but yet the Tanakh, at least Yeshua says, v'gisa bo yom v'layla. And maybe there's a machayev of yom and there's a machayev of layla. But be that as it may, according to the approach of the Shagas Aryeh, that even if the mitzvah can be fulfilled at any moment of any day, yom or laila, nevertheless it still becomes a mitzvah seishes man grom, because the element of zman impacts on the machayev, and if the zman is machayev, for example, the case is clear, yom is machayev, laila is a machayev, kriyas shma the same, then why not say, Esther of Moshe, about the mitzvah of tefillah, that tefillah itself should be a mitzvah seishes man grom, because the yom itself is a machayev, and if you don't believe me, read the Rambam. And Rav Moshe said that we have to somehow come up with an answer to defend the Shagas Aryeh. And Rav Moshe offered two different answers to this question. And I want to see if they're the same answer or the different answers. The first answer of Moshe is, you don't have the right interpretation of the Rambam. You're simply misreading or misunderstanding the Rambam. When the Rambam says Bechol Yom, he doesn't mean on every day. What he means is all the time. Bechol yom, that phrase means anytime. Mitzvah aseh l'spalel, anytime. The reason why women are obligated in the mitzvah of tefillah, namely, the reason why tefillah is a mitzvah aseh she'ein hazman gromo, is because bechol yom doesn't mean on every single day, and every day engenders the mitzvah. Like we said about Tzchiras Yitzrayim, the day is machayev the mitzvah. No! But it means is that any point whatsoever, any time. Right, there's a website on the internet called Torah Anytime. You remember that? I've never actually seen it, but I heard about it. It's a very popular, fantastic
But what are you saying is it's continuousness tefillah?
Well, that's the second answer of Moshe. But before we get to the second answer of Moshe, his first answer is that what the Rambam means is that yom is not machayev a mitzvah of tefillah, but rather any time you chayev the mitzvah of tefillah. It's a mitzvah say she'ein hazman grom. Like, for example, in tefillah we say every morning about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mechadesh, what comes next? Bechol yom tamid ma'aseh b'reishis. That doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechadesh ma'aseh b'reishis on a daily basis, every single day. It means bechol yom means at any moment, any time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time is being mechadesh ma'aseh b'reishis. And that's what the Rambam means by bechol yom, any time. Then Rav Moshe offered a second answer. And he suggested Ein Hachinami. Let's read the Rambam the way most yeshiva bachurim read the Rambam, since the Rambam wrote this for the last 1,000 years. And Bechol Yom means the day. And with the day, the Chiyuv Tefillah emerges. If that be the case, if Zman is Machayev, then we should have a Mitzvah Seisha Zman Grom, correct? So Rav Moshe came up with a Chiddush. And he wanted to suggest that there's a mitzvah called Avodas Hashem, to serve Hashem. We don't believe in our religion that at certain times we serve Hashem, at certain times we don't serve Hashem, we're occasional servants. No, service to Hashem is continuous. And that's what you were saying before, Alan, that this chiyuv is a chiyuv tmidi. It's an ongoing chiyuv. It's true that maybe the Rambam holds that there are certain moments in which the chiyuv emerges, but that doesn't matter, because the kiyuv mitzvah of tefillah is avodas Hashem. And whenever the Kiyum HaMitzvah is Avodas Hashem, that mitzvah is continuous and it's not time bound. That's the nature of Avodas Hashem. So that even if the Machayev has a Zman built into it, and therefore according to the Shagasari, it should make it into a Zman Gromam, since the Kiyum HaMitzvah and its very essence is Kiyum HaVodah Shebelev, Zui Tefillah, Vaditem Hashem HaVodah Shebelev, is Avodah, is a continuous mitzvah ongoing, and therefore it's a mitzvah say She'ein HaZman Gromam. But if this be the case, if we accept Reb Moshe's second definition, then I think there's an afkamina l'halacha. And that is, what's the status of a woman with regard to Kriyat Shema? Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim is the apex of Avodas Hashem. And certainly, it's not a time-bound mitzvah. Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim should exist at any time, continuously. There's no time which is excluded for Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim.
Right.
So how could it be that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? Let's open up to the Shulchan Aruch. Did I write it here on the page? I hope I did. Maybe I left it out. Just one second. Left it out. Oh. Oh, Siman Ayin. That's Hilchus Kriyat Shema. There's a Beis Yosef in Siman Ayin. I forgot to add it to the Maror Makomos page. And he says the following. Again, I'm going to interpret this Beis Yosef the way I think Rav Moshe would interpret the Beis Yosef, if I can allow myself. There are two parts to the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. One is the recitation of three parshios. Gimel parshios, the Rambam holds that all three parshios are Doraisa. And then there's a kiyum of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. In fact, if I were to pinpoint one particular part of this whole matrix, this whole constellation called three parshas of Kriyat Shema. One, put your finger on one point which is the quintessential Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. What would that be? Excellent, the first pasuk. We've discussed it on numerous occasions. Shema Yisrael. So Beis Yosef says that although women are exempt from the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, nevertheless they have to recite the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema. And perhaps this is exactly what Rav Moshe is saying. If you look at the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema from the perspective of the Maisa mitzvah is Kriyas Gimel Parshios. Eino Chinami, there are two Mechayvim. This is Mechayv of Yom, B'Shobucha, Laila, and B'Shobucha, and B'Kumecha Day. And therefore, following in line with the Shagasari, you have two different Zmanim, which are Mechayv the mitzvah. Respectively, that makes it into mitzvah say shesman grum. That's kriyas gimel parshis. Women are exempt from that.
Right.
It's a mitzvah say shesman grum. But if you focus not on the maisa mitzvah, but the kiyuma mitzvah, the kiyuma mitzvah is kabbalah sol malchus shemayim. Says Rav Moshe, kabbalah sol malchus shemayim, like tefillah, like avodas Hashem, is continuous. That by definition, there's no period of time that's excluded from the kiyum of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim Avodas Hashem, then by golly, it's a mitzvah say she'ein hazman grovin noshim chayovos. Is that why the Beis Yosef in Siman Ayin tells us that a woman has to recite the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema? And perhaps even Baruch Shein Kvod Malchus Olamvad. I don't know. You have to know whether that's part of the package deal. But insofar as the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema is a kiyum of Avodas Hashem par excellence, namely Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, there's no doubt, according to Rav Moshe, that's a mitzvah say she'ein hazman groma and women are chayovos. Very beautiful. Okay, Rabosai, I think we'll stop here. Again, we only covered Roman numeral number 1. of our Maariv Makomos. And even Roman numeral number one, we didn't exactly finish. But maybe if I can keep you for another 2 minutes, just to wrap this up, there's a Tosus in Kedusha Chav Tes, Dira Maskel Oso, regarding the mitzvah of Mila. And the Torah says that Sarah Imenu was exempt from the mitzvah of Milas Benah in the Parsha Mila at the end of Lech Lecha. And the Gemara derives that from the Pasuk Oso Velo Osa. Factosis, why do I need the Pasuk Oso Velo Osa? It's a mitzvah Seishes Mein Groma. And Tosus goes on to say that even though it's a mitzvah Seishes Mein Groma from the perspective of the first 7 days of the child's life, but from the eighth day and on, it becomes a mitzvah Seishes Mein Groma. Oh. So here's the question I want to ask you. From the perspective of the chiyuv ha-mitzvah of Mila, from the eighth day and on, there's a constant chiyuv. But Lila loves man Mila. You can't be moel at night. So why again, Hajri Krishna Dukhtar, why do we need the pasuk Oso Velo Oso to exclude women? It's a mitzvah Seishes Mein Groma. Even if I fast forward to the eighth day of the Mila, but it's by Yom and not by Lila. So let's say the night going into the eighth day, there's no possibility of implementing the Mila. So we have a Zman that's excluded from the Kiyuma Mitzvah. And I thought that maybe the answer is that just like we've said in the Rambam, and we said it in Tosfos here, in understanding the Sheet of Reb Shimon, that what determines Zman Groma or not Zman Groma is the Chiyuv HaMitzvah. The Chiyuv Mitzvah's Mila is constant. From the moment of the eighth day on, even at night, there's a chiyuv mila. Okay, the Torah says that the mitzvah has to be implemented and the mila has to be done by Yom and not by Laila. The kiyuv mitzvah is limited in time. But as far as the chiyuv mitzvah is concerned, once we hit the eighth day, it's a continuous chiyuv mitzvah, and therefore it's a mitzvah say, she'en azman groma. For that, we need the pasuk oso v'lo oso. Okay, Rabbi Osei, we'll stop here. What I would like to do with you next time is the sugya of tefillin as far as kriyat shma is concerned. Meaning, the Gemara establishes here on Daf Yud Aleph Beis that one must put on his tefillin and recite kriyat shma. I'd like to analyze that.
Yeah.